All right. Hey, everybody. Pastor Darren here sitting with Pastor Mike. It's been a few weeks, is our Sunday sermon recap. Again, tracking through the Book of Luke, Living Hope series. And still just kind of a side note, you're in a t-shirt.
Yep.
I'm in this hoodie. And
yeah, are you cold, Darren? You got everything.
What season are we in right now? So this is it. This is West Coast.
No, this is
Texas.
This is called Texas, where you walk out a t-shirt because you know it's cold, but by lunchtime it's going to be hot. I'm sure you walk outside today, you're going to have to start just taking off things.
Yeah, we're in November, by the way.
Still getting used to Texas.
Getting used to Texas. So again, tracking through Luke, Living Hope series. On Sunday we talked about the rich young ruler in chapter 18. And as you mentioned on Sunday, the theme of these last couple weeks has been about salvation the kingdom of God. Not that Jesus doesn't talk about that all the time, but there has been kind of an emphasis.
There's been a lot of questions about, the Pharisees were asking about the kingdom of God a couple weeks ago, and then last week Jesus was contrasting someone relying on their own righteousness to get into heaven versus someone who relies on the grace of God, mercy of God, the tax collector said. And then this week we have the guy who just... He's not beating around the bush. He's just going to straight up come to Jesus and say, how do I get this? Yeah. How do I get into heaven? And so Jesus' response is, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. To kind of summarize what we talked about this week on the rich young ruler, summarize the scripture. It's really about the desire of our heart. Mm-hmm. And am I holding something else above God? And is that kind of an accurate summary, or what you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the guy, he's coming to Jesus and he's asking, how do I get eternal life? Like, how do I, he says, what must I do? Mm. And so it's, again, it's been a constant theme of self-righteousness or trying to, earn your salvation. And so he's got the wrong mindset. What must I do? Mm-hmm. And Jesus kind of flips it around to what must I love?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not what must I do, but what must my heart love above all things? And that's kind of where he ends up, because he's asking them, Jesus lists off some things that he can do. He lists off six of the Ten Commandments. And the guy says, I have kept all these from, I do that. I've kept all these from, so again, the action, I do that. And then Jesus says, okay, well, let's see what you love. Yeah. And so he says, he gives him an opportunity to demonstrate his heart's desire, what his heart loves, when he says, go and sell all you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And the idea is, okay, well, these things that you're good at doing, well, let's see if you can demonstrate what you actually love by giving up all these things that you have to seek me. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
So let's backtrack from the very beginning of this passage, verse 18. It said, the ruler asked Jesus just a really good question. It's a great question.
Yeah.
Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And he's probably thinking in his mind, okay, Jesus is going to give me this checklist. If I do this, I do this, I do this, mm-hmm. I'll get that eternal life. But Jesus hones in on one thing that he says that's really important. Mm-hmm. You can't slip stuff by Jesus. He'll catch it.
Yeah.
And he says, good teacher.
Yeah.
Good teacher.
Yeah.
And you thought you can slip that by me, that good teacher part, but good teacher.
Uh-huh.
Can you elaborate on that? Because you talked about this on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting because he comes and says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus doesn't go straight to the question. Like you said, he stops and he's like, well, he says, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. And it's really Jewish Hebrew idea, Old Testament based. First and Second Chronicles talks about a lot. Psalms talks about a lot that no one is good but God alone, right? Mm-hmm. Only God is good. Only God is holy. Only God is righteous. And there was the thought idea at the time that the only person you call good is God, because only God is good. And so he comes up and he calls Jesus good teacher, not Messiah, not Lord, but teacher. But also good teacher. And so Jesus said, well, why do you call me good? The idea is if only God is good and you recognize me as good, then who do you recognize me as? And so it's almost a pinch point of Jesus saying, what do you call me? What are you going to recognize me as? And then as he gives him this, like, you're asking me for eternal life. Like, how do you recognize me as someone who can give you the answer for eternal life? Like, what does that mean to you? How do you see me? And then at the end, he's going to ask him, you know, sell your things and come and follow me. And if the man recognizes him as God, as, you know, good, you know, you're good, you're God, he recognizes that, then he, I mean, this is me speculating, but you think that he would be able to give up his things to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. If he can, you know, why do you call me good? Do you see me as God? If you see me as God, if you see me as the one who can give you salvation, then it should be no problem for you to give up what you have to follow me, to love me. But if you don't see me as God, if you don't see me as, you know, good, if you don't understand, if you don't really see that, well, then I could get why you would hang on to your stuff, mm-hmm. why you would not be willing to give up what I'm asking you to give up, because you don't quite see me clearly. And so before Jesus even dives in the answer, he's giving him, he's trying to clarify, well, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Who am I to you? And so,
yeah. Well, and then in verse 21, he just starts dropping some commandments.
Yeah.
Some commandments on him. And can you share the significance, because you kind of broke this down a little bit, the significance of, he only shares the last six of those commandments.
Yeah, he skips the first four.
Yeah.
And you think this guy would be, you know, he's you know, rich young ruler, he's sharp. He's supposed to be sharp. And so you think that he would be picking up that, hey, Jesus skipped a few, you know, like, yeah. Because what he's doing is, what, you know, what must I do? Well, the Hebrew understanding here of righteousness is you follow the law, right? So the law being given to Moses from God for us, shared in the Old Testament. And so the Hebrew people, Jewish people at this time, they try to follow the law to the T. If you follow the law perfectly, correctly, well, you have righteousness. You have good standing before God, right? He's not going to kill you. You know, like, you're trying to live without sin. And so, so that, you know, he asked Jesus, what am I going to do? And Jesus begins to break down the law, which is what this guy is familiar with. But he skips the first four, goes to the second half. Guy's not paying attention. And the way we broke it down Sunday was, he goes to the second half being, the second half are all about how we love other people. Mm-hmm. You know, in Matthew 22, guy comes to Jesus. He asks him, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus says, well, you can sum up all of the commandments and really two things is what Jesus is saying. So there's not one important one, but if you want me to sum up what they all are, they're all two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Or he says the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So the most important would be love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Jesus quotes, or Jesus starts breaking down the second, or the, excuse me, the last six of the Ten Commandments, which is in correlation with the second, which is love your neighbor as yourself. So he skips the most important one, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and only quotes the second half. And that's where the guy's like, oh, I'm done. I'm doing that, man.
Yeah,
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Like, I nailed it.
Yeah,
nailed
I mean, that's
it.
What he's thinking.
Verse 21, he says, I've kept all these from my youth.
Yeah, which is a bold statement. Like, yeah. Maybe you haven't murdered anybody. Like, okay, you can claim that, but you never lied. Like, you haven't, not once did you look at something and be like, oh, I wish I had that. You didn't covet anything, like, from your youth. And youth would be, I mean, 12, you know, who knows what this guy's talking about. And so, bold statement, you know, so he's feeling himself a little bit. And, but then Jesus just, you know, he does what he does. He reveals the heart. So
it's kind of like us. We'll start kind of running down our list.
Say
of
us. I mean, easy. Don't put your baggage on me.
I'll say for me. Yeah. You know, you start running down the list of things. I do this. Yep. I do this. I feed the homeless. I have certain missionaries. Right. I do all these things.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, oh, I'm this super Christian. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I get eternal life easily.
Like last week, we didn't get to talk about, but like last week where the Pharisees basically like, God, you're so lucky that you made me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Aren't you glad you made me? You know, like that kind of thing. Like, yeah, good luck trying that with your wife, right? Like, honey, aren't you glad that God made you? Aren't you glad, you know?
But then Jesus, you know, he runs down those six and the 20 and verse 21, he says, I've kept all of these. So again, he's kind of feeling himself.
Yeah.
But Jesus says, you lack one thing.
Yeah, which is, I mean.
And like you said Sunday, if Jesus comes to you and says, you lack one thing.
Yeah, those are heartbreaking words, man. Yeah. I don't want to hear. I mean, if Jesus has to say that to me, I would prefer he say it now versus like when I'm facing him in judgment. Yeah. Like you,
I never knew
thing.
You.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the one. So I would rather that have that spoken to me now. You know, I mean, and that's what Jesus does for him. He gives him a chance.
Yeah.
You know, I said Sunday. You know, people hear this passage and they almost think, oh, he's trying to trip him up, and he's he's trying to prevent him. But you see later on that Jesus, his response to the rich young ruler leaving is not only does it say that the rich young ruler is sad, but Jesus is sad. Jesus mourns his choice.
Yeah.
Jesus, you know, he's upset that the guy made this choice because he loves him. And so when Jesus says you lack one thing, he's not being mean. He's giving him opportunity because he's revealing the idol of his heart and giving him a chance to have that idol crushed. And so a lot of times when God reveals, hey, you don't love me like you should, or you, there's things that, that you love more than me, it's not that he's being judgmental or he's being harsh. He's giving us an opportunity to crush those things that are holding us back and to crush the idols. He's revealing it and then giving us, what does he do? He reveals it to the man and then he gives him, come and follow me.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, I'm going to reveal to you your sin. I'm revealing to you your idolatry, which is your stuff. It's your possessions. You think those can fulfill you? Let's crush that idol. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of that idol. Come. And he says, follow me. He gives him opportunity. And then he says, and I'll give you treasure in heaven. He offers him more than the guy even asked for. The guy asked for eternal life. So I'll give you that. Not only that, I'm going to give you treasure in heaven, which I don't know what that is. I'm here for it.
I want it.
Let's go. Yeah, whatever it is, please. Yeah. You know? And so so he's not being mean. He offers him freedom from the idols that are holding him back. I mean, slavery to those idols, you know? And so, he offers him a gift, but the man won't take it.
Yeah, and like you said, he tells the young man, sell everything and then come follow me.
Yeah.
And after, like you said, after that, he becomes very sad. And to be honest, I have to admit, I've read the scripture many times and I've always read the scripture as he was sad because he had a lot of stuff. Not because he was considering giving it up. It's just that, man, I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But he was still maybe even considering giving it. But his thought is, man, I have all this stuff. But,
maybe, yeah.
But in listening to the sermon this past week, he said it was really because he was tied to all this stuff. He was sad because he was so tied to all this stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. I think,
And he couldn't give it up. He felt like he couldn't give it up. He wanted it. His heart was for this stuff more than for God.
His desire is, he was a slave to his possessions, and he loved his possessions more than he loved or craved eternal life.
Yeah.
And like we said Sunday, you know, the thing that's heartbreaking about it is that he's coming to Jesus because those things aren't satisfying him. You know, he's coming to Jesus because they're not enough. And yet he's so tied to them that he can't give them up. I think I said it Sunday. I can't remember exactly how I said it, but it was the idea of this is what idols do, is they give you just enough to hold you captive, but not enough to satisfy your soul. And that's what's going on with this guy. He's sad because I want to follow Jesus. I want to have eternal life. I want that treasure in heaven sounds good, but man, I don't know. You know, the stuff is still, maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll do enough. You know, maybe if I get the next gadget or the next vacation or the next house, you know, maybe the next, you know, maybe it'll be enough, you know? And so, and I won't have to give up all my things and I won't have to make the sacrifice of following Jesus. And so he's sad and he won't do it. And like I said, the tragic thing is he's there because it's not enough.
Yeah.
And his deepest parts of his soul, he knows it's not enough. And yet he's a slave to it. And that's, you know, that's where we are in so many areas of our lives as well. You know, in this world in 2023, you know, we live in that dichotomy as well. So.
And even the scripture says God was saddened by it.
Yeah. Yeah. The next verse, because a lot of times we break up those two stories.
And I do. That's what I'm saying. In the past, I've read it. I never looked at it like he was sad. I just felt like he was sad because he had so much stuff, but not sad because he didn't want to give it up.
Yeah.
And then going, like you said, further, I broke it up because the next part is about possessions and the kingdom.
Yeah. So people, we break that up into two stories because there's a rich young ruler. Who put this together? Come on. What are they doing? Council of whatever. Because you break it up into two stories because there's a rich young ruler, and then the next one is Jesus is like, it is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Yeah.
And so we preach that in two passages,
right.
But you don't realize that Jesus is saying that because of the story of the rich young ruler. He's saying that in response to what happens with this man. So you can't disconnect it. It goes together. It's the same story. And so, it says the rich young ruler said, and then Jesus' response is he is sad as well. You know, it says the rich young, it said he was sad for he had many possessions. And then it says, seeing this, Jesus was sad. Like, it's like,
yeah,
both of them are sad for different reasons. But they're both sad. And so it's not that, you know, we might expect Jesus to be like, all right, you idiot. Like, I offered you a treasure in heaven, but you want your stupid house? Like, okay. But he doesn't. He mourns, because anytime we choose this world or the finite things over him, he grieves that. It's, yeah, you know, you chose. Because everything that we have, we've talked about this, you know, a couple months ago, but everything we have in this world, every good gift we have in this world is meant to lead us to God. Mm-hmm. And yet this man has things that are meant to lead him to God, blessings of this world, and they became his God.
Yeah.
And that's, you see where they are his idol, they're his God. He can't give them up. And she's going, you're choosing the created over the creator, man, and you're going to miss it. And yeah. So Jesus, he weeps, and he said, or I don't know if he weeps, he's sad. And he says, you know, it's easier for a rich or a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples' minds are blown.
Yeah.
They're going, whoa, then who gets into heaven, right? Like, because they're looking at this guy and going, he ticks all the boxes for us, you know. And just like us, we might look at pastors or people that we consider very spiritual people, and maybe they fall or they mess up, and we're going, well, they failed. How am I getting in? And that's kind of what they're looking at this guy going, he's everything that a Jewish man would want to be. He's young, he's rich, and he's a ruler. He's got things going. He's got authority. He's got position in society. Mm-hmm. He's everything that we would look to. He's good at being good, you know? And they're going, he's everything we were taught we're supposed to be, and he's not getting into heaven? And, you know, and so their minds are blown as well. You know, they're shocked as well. So.
And then Jesus breaks it down. He says, what's impossible for you?
Man, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It's not impossible for me.
Yeah, amen. God. Yeah.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah, and ultimately it's God can change the heart.
Yeah.
You know, you might have these idols, you might have these things, and yeah, it might be impossible for a rich man to inherit eternal life or whatever you want to use there. But Jesus says, but not for me, because I can change the heart. I can crush the idols. I can transform your life. And yeah, and Peter's like, I love Peter, because he's like, all right, sounds like we get it, but let's get, just to clarify here, you know, I think I made the joke Sunday, like Peter's not smart enough to know when to shut up. He asked the questions. He's too dumb to know he shouldn't, or whatever. Peter's probably been having like, shut up, Mike, you don't know what you're talking about. But thank God for Peter, because he asked the question
that we all would ask.
Yeah. We're going like, okay, sounds like you're saying.
For clarification.
Yeah, just to clarify.
Can you come?
Yeah. Peter, get over here, man. Ask the question, please. Like, the other disciples are like, yeah, Peter, thanks, Peter.
Peter will do it.
Yeah, we didn't know, you know. Thomas is like, I was kind of doubting over here. I didn't know, but. And so Peter says, okay, well, we've given up everything to follow you, Jesus. And he basically responds, well, you made the right choice.
Yeah.
You're going to get your reward. And that's where we want to be. Not that we have to sell everything, but that our choice would always be that we would love God over anything in this world.
Yeah.
That when idols do creep up in our hearts and there's things that we might have affection for that could overtake Jesus, that we would constantly allow God to do that soul work and that heart work where he reveals, hey, here's the thing, then he crushes it. Here's the thing, and that we would allow him to go do heart surgery on us, and that as he transformed, we would make the right choice over and over and over, and that would be our story, that he would say, hey, I got a reward for you. It's here.
Yeah,
you made the right choice. So
that's good.
Yep.
All right. Is there anything else you want to add in closing that you didn't get the chance to?
No, ask a pastor. You don't got a trick question for
no
me this
trick
week.
Question this week.
No, God's good. Let's make the right choice.
Yeah.
And looking forward to what's next.
All right. If you have anything gripping your heart, like this rich young ruler, your freedom is found in knowing God. And in knowing God, you'll discover your purpose, and you can make a difference from the kingdom.
Amen.
God bless you, and we will see you next week.
Let's go.